Welcome
to the final Anarchivist podcast radio show.
Yes.
For the semester.
For the semester.
Am I making the levels clip okay?
We didn't really do a mic check.
No, we didn't. So you're getting us raw. Live and raw.
Raw and unfiltered. I'm not clipping, right, which is unusual for me because...
You've got a very clippy voice.
I do have like a clippy little paper voice. Clip. Yes. Paper would you like to write... I see you're writing a letter. Would you like some help with that?
I think that you could be a good voiceover artist for Microsoft Clippy.
Oh, no. That's not a compliment.
You've got that very, like, stationary
mean
voice.
That's so mean. I'm going to go cry now.
Oh, no, don't do that. Yes, well, we have an action-packed show for you today, as we do every week.
Yes. The only difference is there's not another one after this.
Yes, that's right.
For a little while, maybe.
For a little while. We might come back next semester.
Yes.
That's on the cards, potentially.
Yes, I'll have to get my timetable.
It's difficult because Miel's going to be here for another semester. I may not be. I'll be here for most of next semester.
Yes.
I'm supposed to be finishing this September, but I'll be writing up a thesis goodness knows when. How long's a piece of string? Who knows? So I'll be out of action for a little while, but it could be entertaining. You'll hear me in my state of constant existential dread. Trying to clutch this document together. What? Well, yeah, it is all the time. Especially today, I'm feeling particularly uncomfortable today. So depending on what triggers Miel chooses to use, I might go off on some incredibly nervous rants about goodness knows what.
That's what this place is all about.
Wield your power wisely.
Yes. Well, I always do. You know that. All right, so I was thinking we would launch into a bracket of classics, well, a mini bracket of classics. So
sounds good.
We're going to hear some Fugazi in honor of the Guy Picciotto event.
Guy Picciotto himself.
Yes.
Will be gracing us with his presence.
In Melbourne, not on the show, unfortunately.
He might even be in Melbourne at this very moment. He'll be here tomorrow at least.
We can breathe the same air. Okay, anyway, this is Fugazi, and this is from The Argument and Its Epic Problem.
Yeah! big problems are a problem for me. And inside, I know I'm broken, but I'm working as far as you can see.
Yeah.
Hello, we are back. And
yes, we are.
We heard just then from Shellac, who gave us our wonderful title theme. Well, they also gave us Steady As She Goes off Excellent Italian Greyhound.
Excellent Italian Greyhound.
Excellent Italian
Uffizi.
Greyhound. Uffizi, yes.
I remember that.
Dearly departed Uffizi. Rest in
Uffizi
peace.
Uffizi trainer.
Yes. Rest in peace, you very good doggo.
And before that, we heard Epic Problem by Fugazi off the 2001 album The Argument, which is probably considered their last album because they'll likely never do anything ever again, sadly.
They just did that hiatus thing, which is almost worse than just, you know, quitting.
Because there's always a chance they could come back. Well, actually, a lot of bands that have broken up have come back, but I do wonder how many bands that have gone on hiatus have actually come back.
For that long as well.
I mean, there's Fugazi. If you think about it, there would be so many impediments to them coming back and still being able to stay true to this sort of monolithic legacy they've created.
They bring that back up every time, you know, a journalist, kind of an eager journalist, asks them, you know, like, hey, when's the reunion tour, man? Mm. Like, they're always kind of dodging the issue, but they're also, you know, giving us some pretty compelling reasons why not, like, you know, family and... Ian's got a business to run and, you know, everyone's got families, I guess, at this point in the band, and they live in different parts of the country as
well.
Yeah,
I think it was Joe Lally is in Italy, I think.
Oh, wow. Well, that's going to be, that'd be an issue unless, you know, they got on Skype or something.
Oh, yeah. And there are so, like, the terrain is so much different to what it was when they last played, I think, 15 years ago or so.
I can guarantee they would sell out single venue.
Especially if they only charge $5 a ticket, which accounting for inflation is probably now $15 a ticket or
Could
something.
Could you ask for $5 a ticket these days with, you know, the online booking and all of that? Would that even be tenable?
Oh, they would probably give it out as a limited ballot thing.
Mm, but it wouldn't... I don't know. I guess that would be against their credo, though.
Their morals.
Yeah.
To do online.
I mean, because it wouldn't be $5.
Where would they? Where do you reckon they would play if they came down here?
Oh, mate, I'd have to say somewhere like the Corner Hotel. I mean, that's where a lot of these bands
play.
Band
of their stature would probably play Corner Hotel.
Mm.
Maybe even Festival Hall.
Festival
which is
Hall.
Now there are moves to get it demolished. There are also moves to keep it preserved for its not because it's an architecturally interesting building, but because of the great amount of history that's happened there. I rather like Festival Hall. It's grungy. It's horrible. It's got that wooden floor that has so many holes in it that
I'm not sure if I've been there or not. Where is it?
It's a sort of West Melbourne. It's just up the road from Sir John Monash, where Sir John Monash was born, actually.
I don't
Dudley
know where
Street.
That is either.
Oh, Dudley Street. So
Dudley
it's,
Street.
So you keep going up Spencer Street from the station, and it's sort of off to the left. Sorry, off to the west, somewhere from there.
Huh,
just away from the city. There's also a large stormwater drain that runs under there that is flooded.
Does that bring you to a little
is
something
my,
you wanted
my
to...
my little segue? So, yes, I could embark on my little... oral history. Last week, towards the end of the program, I was contemplating doing a oral history of the Cave Clan. Now, what's the Cave Clan, you might ask? Well, the Cave Clan is a group that explores stormwater drains, and they started in Melbourne. And if you would like, I can deliver my spiel.
You absolutely should.
We are planning off the cuff here. So let's have a little bit of context. So Melbourne is built around having a separate separated sewage and stormwater system, unlike many other countries where the stormwater and sewage actually runs together through the same tunnels. And indeed, this is true for pretty much all of Australia. And this is thanks to the forethought of the Melbourne Metropolitan Board of Works, MMBW, whose initials you sometimes see stamped on the pavement. In the late 19th century, they embarked upon the biggest engineering effort to that point conducted in Melbourne, which was the construction of the main outfall sewer running something like almost 30 kilometres from Spotswood, down near where Science Works is, to Werribee, where the Werribee sewage farm
presently is responsible for the smell of Werribee.
As now known as the Western Treatment Plant. Now, this is a big brick sewer that was replaced with a more modern concrete sewer in the... and you can actually go there and have a look at it. I mean, you can't, like, go inside it, legitimately. But you can go and look at all the big brick aqueducts that run along. It's called the Federation Trail, and it runs out of Melbourne's West. And I once had a bike ride out there. Being obscenely hungover and riding 26 Ks is not conducive to good health.
I wouldn't think so. Wouldn't dehydration be a big concern?
Yes, it was. Well, I probably wasn't. I was probably still a little bit drunk, so I didn't consider any of these things after embarking on this bike ride. So it's called the Federation Trail, and you can ride along it. So that's a bit of history. Now, stormwater drainage systems in Melbourne have existed for a long time, branching off the Yarra. One of the oldest is the Alexandra Parade Main Drain up in Abbotsford, which runs just near where the M3 freeway sort of goes into, crosses the Yarra. And that was built in, I think, the 1850s. It might have been completed in 1854. There's a similarly old stormwater drain in North Melbourne. And that's made out of... And both of these drains are built of bluestone. So very old construction techniques back when you could actually afford bluestone and slave labour and all those mod cons. And they both run under. And there's another one down in Hawthorne, which is the Hawthorne Main Drain. It's made of brick and a bunch of other things. And so all of these drains sort of date from around the... late 19th century up into the early 20th century, and you can date a drain by its method of construction. The really early ones use bluestone, the later ones use red brick, so we're talking about the period from 1890 up to maybe 1930, and then from the 1940s onwards they used at first reinforced concrete that was cast in situ using what are they called? Formwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on pre-spun RCPs, reinforced concrete pipes, which were manufactured
right.
by...
I should remember that from my one structural engineering unit, but most of that is trauma memories. So
oh, dear.
I'm not going to remember that.
Manufactured locally in Melbourne by either Humes or Rockler were the two main companies that made these RCPs using two different methods. So anyway, so where does the Cave Clan come into this? Well, they because the systems are separated, you can actually... people had the idea of exploring these tunnel systems, and which we don't condone on the Anarchivist podcast, which is an illegal activity and
naughty.
Can result in your death or a hefty fine.
Yes.
But people do go and do it. And one of the first such groups was the Drainiacs in the 1960s. They're only known because they painted a large mural in a drain in Northcote with the name Drainiacs and the date 1966.
Does that still exist?
It does, although it has been partially painted over by thoughtless individuals.
Okay.
There was another famous figure called Alf Sadlier. Now, Alf Sadlier, for a long time, the Cave Clan thought that he was a very early drain explorer from the 40s. And in many tunnels across Melbourne, there is a painted in tar, mind you, the name A. Sadlier, 1941 or 42 or 46. Now, he was actually a builder of the drains. He's if you go to the Public Records Office of Victoria and look up their employment records from that period, see, he was employed as a sewer sinker. So he sunk the pipes.
Okay.
And he died at the age of, I believe, 65 in 1946. So he was working up until his death, and he lived in... ended up in Buckley Street in Noble Park. But prior to that, when he was working for the Board of Works, he lived in York Street, South Yarra, which is just up the road from a drain that the Cave Clan called Anzac, which is very large, made of brick, and for a long time, up until recently, hosted an event called the Clannies.
Yes, we know.
The infamous Clannies.
We know about the Clannies. Well, some of us do. I do.
Where they get together and they have parties and awards night. So there weren't really much in the way of drain exploring groups up until the 80s when the Cave Clan formed. Now, the Cave Clan was formed by three teenagers out of Northcote. So went by the names Duggo, Woody and Sloth.
And some of these people are still members?
Yes, some of these people are still involved with the organisation, I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a bunch of teenagers, basically. And one day they went to explore the Diamond Creek mines, which have since collapsed.
Right, yes, yep. Is that near Bendigo?
No, it's a bit closer. It's up near Hurstbridge.
Okay, yep.
It's Hurstbridge line. Mm-hmm. Which have since collapsed, but they were former gold mines, and they formed this group, the Cave Clan, which was dedicated to exploring mines and those types of tunnels originally, but they quickly realised that there weren't many mines that were actually doable, so thought, okay, let's do drains. So they did a drain up in, I think, Q-ish. They called it Mummy, because it was a mummy shape, like a sarcophagus-shaped tunnel.
Oh, okay, yep. With like a pinch off at the end.
Yes,
kind of like a bottlenecking.
Yeah, and that was the first drain that the Cave Clan did in 1986. They were formed, and soon they sort of it was just the three of them for the longest time, and they eventually got sick of it. And after doing maybe a dozen drains or so, I thought, yeah, this is boring. But then they received word via graffiti, because there was no internet back in these days.
Ah,
everything was
organised
over the phone.
Mm.
Or the underside of a bridge. So
right.
Duggo got a call. I think it was Duggo got a call from his brother saying, "Hey, there's some graffiti messages left for you under this bridge up in Northcote."
Wow.
And it was from a pair of guys called Cobra and Blade, who also were exploring drains, and they ended up joining the Cave Clan, although Blade fell off pretty quickly. Cobra stayed on for some more years before sort of getting spooked off it by his sort of overbearing parents, I'm told. So from there they got a P.O. box and they started up a little zine called Il Draino, which was started in, I think, 89 and is still going.
Very impressive.
Sporadically published by Duggo himself.
Mm.
And so membership just grew from there, and they used to have trips up to Sydney and interstate where they'd put up stickers. You see, now it's fairly commonplace for graffiti artists to put up slap tags.
Right, yeah.
But back then it was entirely novel, and the Cave Clan thought, well, we can advertise ourselves by printing off hundreds and hundreds of stickers and handing them out and getting people to stick them. So Cave Clan stickers, you'll ask anyone who
guerrilla
grew up...
Guerrilla marketing tactic.
That's right. Anyone who grew up in Melbourne in that period in the early 90s will remember Cave Clan stickers being everywhere.
Mm.
And so they also went on these stickering trips up to Sydney and Adelaide.
Right.
Brisbane.
Some of these stickers are still around too.
Yes.
Right?
There is reportedly one in a Thornbury laundromat that has been there since 1988.
Incredible. And that's just a normal paperbacked sticker.
Yes, that's right. Paperback, nothing fancy, probably printed on a dot matrix printer or something.
Mm.
Or a cheapo photocopying.
Mm.
And so they went up to Sydney and they got one hit in their P.O. box, because at this point they had a P.O. box. I think it's P.O. box 268 Abbotsford, which you can still write to. It's still answered. And so what happened? And it was from a guy who was talking about drains and was fascinated by them and wanted to start up a Cave Clan branch in Sydney. And his name was Predator.
Okay,
also known
yes.
as, whose real name is Michael Carlton, who was also, it turned out Predator is a very interesting individual, now sadly passed away. He passed away about 14 years ago at the tragically young age of 33.
Oh, that's very sad.
He, along with a couple of other guys named Mullet and Diode, started up the Sydney branch of the Cave Clan, which is also still going to this day. It's quite different to the Melbourne branch, I'm told. And he was involved in the early internet in various anarchist and activist circles, community anarchist networks, and squats. And there's very interesting
hacker forums and things like that as
yes,
well.
Yes, they're very active in those circles,
like Cult of the Dead Cow and stuff like that. Yeah.
If
you go through those archives, there's still like text documents from the text collections from like IRC chats and.
And also a radical pioneer of the biohacking movement as well, which is we're seeing bits and pieces of emerging now in terms of doing.
Would be like a golden age for biohacking.
Well, yeah, and he was doing this back in the late 90s, early 2000s, shortly before he died. So if you ever want to read more about him, look up pred.txt, pred.txt, and there is a free ebook available which collects a few texts written by him, including some fairly harrowing blog posts that document in great detail the last 6 months of his life.
Okay, so is there a bit of a content warning there?
Yes, there is a bit of a content warning, you know, all of the traditional content warnings, suicidal thoughts, medical procedures, all of that. So that was the birth of Sydney, and in the 90s it became a bit more socially oriented. The group expanded to perhaps 50 active members and beyond. The first Clannies was held, I think, in 1989. There were many interstate and overseas trips. But in the late 90s, there was a big explosion of these things called topsides, which are abandonments and quite sizable ones too, the most memorable being Panch, which is the Preston and Northern Suburbs Community Hospital, I think, something like that, or Preston and Northgate.
So an abandoned hospital, was it?
A big abandoned hospital, which I think is now partly community housing and partly still a hospital.
Okay.
And there was a Melbourne power station, the Spencer Street power station on Spencer Street, which had a big chimney and that had for a long time some graffiti along the lines of no jobs on a dead planet, I think it was.
Okay, so like some environmental activism type.
Yes.
Culture blocking or.
A bit of culture jamming. Some guy had abseiled down the side. And this sort of formed the a diversification of the Cave Clan's activities around that period, and it became a defining cultural force in Melbourne, a number of artistic types. And there was a documentary recently produced by the ABC called Cave Clan Underground Artists that talks about the artistic qualities of many Cave Clan members who sort of came up in the 90s and flourished around then.
Would this be on their website?
It is. If you go to ABC iView and search for Cave Clan.
Oh, so it's a video.
Find it. It is. Yeah. It's a video documentary series.
Mm.
And so this sort of very unique culture with its own language and publications and habits and rituals formed just by virtue of Melbourne's drainage system. It's still going to this day in some form. It's undergone a few major changes,
shifts and things
as all organisations do, but it's still going in a certain form. So if you want more information, go to www.caveclan.org and you'll find out all you want to know. And we need to reiterate that 3MU and the Anarchivist Podcast does not condone
any illegal activities
as such. But if you are interested in these things from a cultural perspective, please get in touch with them. They'd be more than happy to entertain you.
Yes.
Yes.
With that, I think we're going to jump into a bracket, because we've had a bit of talk.
A bit of rant, sorry.
We've gone all 3AW on you, minus the clueless boomer rants, but we'll get into a bracket of songs. What are we going to hear here, Andrew?
Well, I think that, first of all, we're going to hear the best song Dinosaur Jr. ever wrote from their 1986 album, You're Living All Over Me, when they still had Lou Barlow in the band, Little Fury Things.
You're listening to the Anarchivist Podcast.
Three.
I Smashes. 切って泣いて所詮たった凡庸を知って泣いて芽生えてた感情を切って泣いて所詮たった凡庸を知って泣いて腐った心は薄切ってない嘘を消してリライトしてくだらない休暇する素晴らしい存在感を
All right, hello. We're back.
We are back.
And I do wonder if we have actually played that song before. Because
we might have. It sounds very familiar, but maybe because I've listened to Sonic Youth a lot in my youth. In my youth so far.
You had a very Sonic Youth.
I did have a very Sonic Youth.
Yes. Would you like to do the gig guide or would you like to invite our...
Our guest.
Our guest.
Well, here she is, just coming into the studio.
We have a very special guest for you, our first and only guest of the... let's just get her set up. Neil's patching her in, and then she's got to run off for a bit. Our very first and only guest of this series of An Archivist, local Melbourne musician, Celiac.
Hello.
How are you today, Miss Celiac?
I'm all right. I am decidedly not gluten-free.
Oh, okay. Well,
a lot of people, when they book me, they're like, "Oh, you know, we can make arrangements with the bar if you need some gluten free drinks and things." It's like, no, I'm not a celiac.
Don't live up to your name.
I don't.
It's chosen for thematic reasons.
It's chosen because of a misdiagnosis or a bunch of wild goose chase medical tests, and I thought it sounded cool. Actually, earlier this year, I had another investigation and I found out there's another use of that word, mostly in America, but there's a celiac artery and mine is slightly pinched off. So I have some claim to that name, just not in the way that people think.
You should have called yourself celeriac.
I love those vegetables. I love them so much. When you get raised half French like me.
It'd be good if you named yourself after a food, like pikelet.
Pikelet, yeah. Although I think Ev is using their full name now. But yeah, the pikelet days. I think actually, is pikelet still going as well? And Ev's side project
I don't know.
I have to see. But they've just put out, they're having an album launch too. So like shouts out to Ev and go check out their album launch.
Let's pull that up.
Yes.
Quickly, so I can segue to the next thing that I was going to ask you, Miss Celiac.
Oh, yes. Okay, so Ida Morris's album launch is at the Melbourne Recital Centre, 6:30 on Saturday, June the 2nd. How's that for an interview? Excellent. I'm plugging other people's shows.
No, that's very good. And sorry, I just realised I did something very callous and I assumed the pronouns of Celiac.
Oh,
can
yes.
Can you tell us which you would prefer, if
just
any?
She, her.
She, her? Okay, yeah. Okay. So just, it wasn't too much of a...
Because it's just a pseudonym, so...
It's a pseudonym.
Uses my pronouns. Pseudonymous.
Okay. Oh, well, that's good. Speaking of album launches, you have recently...
Yes. I have not got an album launch planned at the moment, although I would really like one. But they take a lot of work. So I will be hopefully maybe doing something along those lines in the future, within the year, hopefully, maybe. I don't know.
When did your last album come out?
It came out in... consults my Bandcamp.
Loads up
surreptitiously.
Google. She's loading up Google on our Dell monitor right now.
Yes. So I released it in... God damn it, Bandcamp. Why are you letting me down like this? February.
Oh, that's longer ago than I thought it was.
February 13. Yes. That's when I tend to release albums in February before I get I go to uni and lose my life for 12 weeks at a time.
Yes, that's right. Did you find, just regarding this new album, did you find that you were doing anything particularly new or exploring new sonic territory that you hadn't sort of been familiar with prior?
Yeah, so I was listening to a lot of hip-hop, and I always have listened to a lot of hip-hop, but I've always, and it always has been a bit of an influence, but I thought maybe I would kind of use a bit more of the vocal delivery that's used in hip-hop, and... I'm no rapper, I'm terrible, but I did try with my lyrics to make it a little more personal and a little more close to home, to the point where I felt a little bit worried about releasing it because, you know, when you're under several layers of noise and you're just repeating mantras and things, it's not quite as personal as when you are... talking about your childhood or talking about your parents or talking about where you grew up, as I do on a lot of these songs on the new album, or talking about my health, which, yeah, has never really been something I spoke about in my music. It's sort of had a little bit of a theme, but this is dealing with it head on and dealing with the emotions that come with that.
Well, although you do have your personal experiences and sort of history and your everyday occurrences have been sort of a core influence on your material, I do notice the tendency to sort of dig out bits of folklore from the internet and wrap that into your songwriting and all these unusual and at times quite horrifying bits of folklore and find their way into your songs. Do you have a few favourites?
The reason I do that is because I've always loved Big Black. I'm just a Big Black tragic, and I love how many like little bits of pop culture I've learned from their songs, and I thought, well, you know, I'd write songs about things that people hadn't written songs about before. So I guess my favorite one to perform and to listen back to is probably Laura Black. And that's a true story. All of the stories that I kind of write about are true. But that one is particularly harrowing. It was made into a movie as well. It's called I Can Make You Love Me, and it stars Brooke Shields as Laura Black. And it's a really, 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 really good television movie. It's a shame it didn't get a proper release, but it's very well acted. And it just tells the story really... And I watched that and I thought, oh, wow, I wonder if anyone's written a story about that and how ridiculous that whole situation was, where a female engineer worked at high security clearance engineering firm in Silicon Valley. And on her first day, she was spotted by a male coworker who thought, you know, who basically became infatuated with her out of very little and began to write her letters, and essentially he became a stalker. And there was a thing making the rounds on Imgur the other week, and the situation was eerily similar. A guy had filled a notebook full of letters that he'd written to his female coworker, and she'd gotten a restraining order and that sort of thing. And that just reminded me even more of this case that barely anyone talks about, but 7 people were killed by Richard Farley when he decided to shoot up the workplace because he was a scorned stalker. And, you know, I think the tipping point was when Laura went to get a restraining order, which sent him over the edge. He went and bought some heavy artillery. He bought a big RV. He put all the artillery in the RV and like camped outside the workplace and walked right in. Even though this was a high security clearance workplace, this wasn't just any regular workplace. He proceeded to shoot and kill many people at the workplace. And so it was, it's just a particularly horrible story, but it shows that, you know, these issues where, you know, you have a stalker, they should be taken much more seriously. You know, we have way too many stories like this. And so that's why I thought I would write a song about that. But that's off my last album. So you can go listen to that, but listen to my new one too.
Let's listen to the new one. What's the new one called?
It's called From the Heart. So that one I don't think there's anything about, you know, news stories or cultural tidbits in there, but yeah, it's more personal. So
more personal album. And you can download that from celiac.bandcamp.com. That's celiac.bandcamp.com.
Yes, you can.
Send Celiac a bit of cash.
Yes. I need it. No, I don't.
She needs it to keep making beautiful music. And at times, incredibly abrasive, harsh music.
On my completely ripped off version of Ableton.
Oh, don't say that. You can't say that.
No, I bought it.
Her completely legitimate purchase.
Version of Ableton.
Which she's still paying off. That's why she needs the money.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yes. So can we play a track from your album?
We can.
Your albums?
This is really... It's not weird because I'm not Miel, but it would be weird if I were.
She'll be back in a few minutes to say hi. You might catch her on the way out. I think she's just gone to get some coffee.
All right. So which one will I play? Andrew, you've heard this album, I'm guessing. You might want to pick one because I can't pick them.
The one that's Fool's Gold.
You like Fool's Gold?
I think that's the one.
Is it? Wait, which one are you thinking of?
Is that the one with the riff that's like... what's the...
Oops. I just blew out the mic. RIP headphone listeners. I know the one you're talking about, and it is Mighty. So this is Mighty.
Oh, no, I want Fool's Gold. Oh, well, okay. Mighty.
Twice. I'm not listening.
we're back. This is Miel, not Celiac.
Yes, Celiac had to leave.
She had to go.
She has a class to go to. She's got to go make some music.
Yes.
So,
yes, what did we hear? We heard two songs from Celiac.
At the top of that, we had Mighty and then Rush, both from her latest album, which I need to... from the heart.
We're so organized today. And that just about does it for
an archivist for this semester.
Yes. Keep in touch with us on our Facebook page, and we'll announce if we are coming back for a season two. But so far, we don't know yet. So we will catch you when we catch you.
That's right. Thanks for listening. And
Thank you.
I might just quickly back announce we did have two songs.
We
had Rewrite by Asian Kung Fu Generation after Little Fury Things by Dinosaur Jr. And that AKG song was followed by Dirty Boots by Sonic Youth, which has one of those idealistic teen fantasy videos that we love so much.
Yes.
Watch the video for that. So from Andrew and Miel at the Anarchivist Zine Radio Show team,
we say adieu.
Might see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Stronger.